What is up, bosses? Before we kick off this episode, I want to tell you about our sponsor. It is Indeed. Now, we have a ton of successful entrepreneurs that listen to this show. And I think one thing they can all agree on is hiring is crucial to the success of your business. That's why you need Indeed. Indeed is an unbelievably powerful hiring partner where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. Don't struggle on your own to find candidates. Indeed will help you hire the right people right now. I'm going to tell you even more about Indeed during the break, but if you want to check it out now, they got a special offer for our listeners. You can head over to Indeed.com/iLab and you'll get a $75 sponsored job credit. That's a $75 credit when you head over to Indeed.com/iLab. Offer valid through December 31st. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to the Invest Like a Boss podcast.
I'm Sam Marks.
And I'm Johnny FD. We're self-made entrepreneurs who invest our own money and use modern technology to invest like a boss.
Join us each week for exclusive interviews with our network of modern investors, business owners, and multimillionaires to discover new ways to invest our hard-earned cash.
Buenos dias. Hola, amigo. Me llamo Johnny FD Sam Marks in Barcelona. Welcome to the... A special episode, buddy.
Yeah. You were rolling there for a second. I was about to say, damn, your Spanish is better than mine. And then you showed yourself. You exhausted your Spanish, skills.
My Spanish actually used to be much better than my Russian. But once I started to learn Russian, it completely just, I started mixing it up. And I would literally speak half Russian, half Spanish, half English, and nobody would understand me.
I was going to say, I've heard of Spanglish, but I've never heard of half Russian, half Spanish.
Yeah, that's great. So guys, welcome to a very special episode. This is episode 200. Sam, can you
believe? Is it? Oh my God, I knew we were coming up on it. I didn't realize that was going to be this one. It's perfect.
Yeah, this man. Is it. Can you believe we've done 200 episodes together?
It's amazing. And I'll throw Derek in there. It's been a big help in getting us to this next level, especially of volume, because last quarter was the biggest quarter ever in terms of volumes we've ever recorded. Yeah, it was a lot. It was great.
Derek, we appreciate you so much, buddy. Seriously, you are the lifeline of iLab. If it wasn't for Derek, if it wasn't for the Patreons supporting, basically bringing Derek on board, I don't think this would exist anymore.
This year has been a game changer, and it's all thanks to the Patreons and Derek. We've leveled up in so many ways, and big thanks to all the listeners that have been with us for 200 episodes. I wonder how many people have listened to every episode.
Oh, if you did, please let us know. Like, tag us on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook or something. Just let us know, you know, happy 200th anniversary. And
Johnny will send you one of his Ethereum.
Oh, God. Yeah, right. I think I have literally one Ethereum.
Better than zero.
Yeah. So we'll definitely get into that towards the end of this episode. But for those watching on video in the Patreon, I don't even know how to say it. Cheers. Salud.
Salud in Spanish. It's an early morning recording.
For both of us.
Johnny's got a really cool jacket. I can't tell if it's like high quality or if it's secondhand.
This is my Rick and Morty brand new from Crop, which is a Polish retailer.
Okay.
I got this for 20, buy it, 25 bucks.
Buy me something like that. I'd like that as a gift. It's unique.
Okay.
And
I like it.
I've been buying like robes on Amazon and shipping it to the US because I spend so much time in my place in Barcelona. I'm like, all right, but I don't like wearing clothes in my house, right? I like wearing robes, but you gotta go through a few robes to get the right one to fit. So now I'm on the silk stuff. So I ship it to, it's hard to ship to Spain, at least to my unit. So I've been shipping to the US, and then when I go back to the US, I pick up a suitcase full of stuff. It's great.
That's smart. It's even worse trying to ship to Ukraine. I just hit 100,000 subscribers on YouTube and they wanted to send me a silver plaque. And I was really excited to get it, but I had no idea how to receive it in Ukraine. Mm-hmm. So I decided I'm going to ship it to my lawyer's office because it's actual business. I'm sure they get packages all the time. And it's been 3 weeks just stuck in a warehouse. And I don't know when I'm going to get it.
Yeah. I can't wait to see that silver plaque, man. Congratulations.
And me neither. Thank you. But So yeah, there's going to be a lot to talk about on this episode. Income wise, finally, I have some income again, which I've kind of hinted about with the silver plaque, but we'll get into that. Sam, you probably made the most amount of investments ever in one quarter.
It was crazy. Yeah. Because last quarter, I really didn't do much. In this quarter, just a lot of things materializing and a lot of deals coming through that look good, and just started getting excited about making money again. Kind of took a sleep for about a year.
You know, sometimes we got to do that. We go through these ups and downs. I mean, the first 100 episodes, we probably invested in like 90 different vehicles.
Well, then I tried to consolidate, and now I'm going through expansion again of a lot of different investments. But you're right. It's like, it's seasonal, right? You have to sometimes go through that winter period, whether that just means cooling down or taking losses and consolidating. But there's a lot of interesting opportunities now and new passions as well that trying to get involved in. So,
yeah. I mean, kind of just going, like taking a trip down memory lane, you and I met in Thailand 6 years ago. I don't even know now. Six years ago.
Yeah. And pretty quickly started the podcast afterwards.
Yeah. And if you guys want to know the whole kind of backstory, listen to episodes probably 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of the podcast. If you haven't kind of gone through the old ones, they were really good. I would say our best episodes in terms of lifestyle wise, kind of story wise, how we met, but also the basic foundations of investing were in those first probably 25, 30 episodes.
Yeah. Classic episodes, OG episodes. Whenever I'm recommending episodes to people that are just getting started investing, there's always like at least 70 or 80% in that first 10 or 15 episodes. Because that was like when we were just starting with investing, we're like, what is the biggest itch to scratch? And then we would just go after that specific one and try to juice as much out of it as we could.
Yeah. So off the top of your head, kind of just like, you know, non-scientifically or anything, how much do you think, I'm assuming you're up from that first episode, right? What would you get? Like,
how sad would it be if we've been in like this massive bull market since, and we've done 200 episodes and invested in all these things, and I'm like, I'm about even. I'm down. Oh man, of course hilarious. I'm way up. Yeah. Okay,
so it's hard for me to calculate how much I'm actually up. You know, maybe we'll go through that kind of through the spreadsheet later in this episode. But when I factor in all the money I invested that I probably would have otherwise just had spent, right? Because most people who, you know, aren't active investors, you know, whatever extra money we have left over at the end of the month, we think, okay, what should I buy? Should I buy some new clothes? Should I buy a new car? Should I buy, you know, it's usually almost always liabilities, right? Once in a while, it might be like, I'll buy a house. But I think most people are just buying crap that just loses the money. And if it wasn't for this podcast, I'm pretty sure, I mean, I was already investing then before that, but if I was living in LA still, and I had never kind of gone through this, the whole journey of, you know, reading Rich Dad, Poor Dad, or Money Master the Game, or, you know, getting into investing and starting this podcast with you, I probably would have been, you know, on my sixth car by now. You know, I would have been like, oh yeah, you know what? The new AMG, you know, Mercedes, you know, GTR looks pretty good. You know, I can make those payments. You know, I can technically squeeze that out. Or, oh yeah, maybe I should move into like a cool condo downtown LA or something, and you know, furnish it and like, you know, with all this stuff. So when I started this podcast with you, I think my net worth was like $100,000 or something, and now it's 10x that. So big thanks to this podcast and, you know, and you and all the listeners for keeping me motivated to invest.
Definitely, man. And the other really important part that gets overlooked quite a bit, because we're so focused on what our return was, how much did we make, how much did we gain, how much did our portfolios appreciate? But what we often forget about is how many mistakes did we make? How many mistakes were saved by having the emotional fortitude to get through bad markets, downturns, to be able to have that gut feeling about an investment, you know? So that was a good lesson for me to go back and do that. I think it was like a top 8 mistakes or top 10 mistakes we recorded. Like, it wasn't last quarter, but the quarter before. And I was like, wow, you know, all of my biggest mistakes happened when I was younger and I was basically throwing darts at a board, but I had no basis of investment or personal finance education. And so, and now I'm investing, you know, I'm investing 100x the amount of money, but I'm making, touch wood, no big mistakes. And those mistakes when I was younger, they wiped me out every time, but I was only investing like, you know, $10,000, $20,000, $50,000, but it's still like, there's massive bumps to get over when that happens and it wipes you out.
Yeah. I think it's smart to make those mistakes when we don't have that much to lose, even though it feels like we've lost everything because, you know, maybe we only had 10 grand to invest, but it's way better to make those mistakes early and learn from it. And even though we've been in a bull run these last, you know, probably 5 years, basically, I really believe that even if we weren't, even if the market had gone sideways or down, mm-hmm. I think we would have been okay compared to, you know, people who weren't into learning about investing. They were, you know, I think a lot of people got lucky these last couple of years for sure. You know, it was kind of like the bigger risks you took, the bigger you would have, more money you would have made. And some of those people got lucky, but if things didn't just skyrocket, the US wasn't printing money, if things, you know, weren't kind of going crazy, I think a lot of people would have lost a lot of money, but I think we would have been okay still. Like, you know, obviously we wouldn't have made as much as we did during this bull run, but I think we would have been okay.
I kind of like it when it's boring. I kind of like it when it's boring. You know, the episode we did, 10 commandments of investing. And like the biggest takeaway for me is good investing is boring investing. As soon as it gets exciting, you're not investing anymore. You're speculating.
Yeah, absolutely true. Absolutely. But what hasn't been boring is our lives since then. You know, we both met in Thailand. We were living there and our lives are drastically different now. You know, now both of us own, you know, homes that we're actually living in. And, you know, you bought a place in Carolinas. I bought a place in Kiev. You finished remodeling your place in Barcelona, which you're in now. These are things we never thought we would have done, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. But it really goes to show that it's hard for us to predict what our future is going to be like, what we're going to want in 5 years. So the best thing to do is have that option, you know, financially and kind of freedom wise, be able to have options to pivot.
Yeah. I don't think when we started this podcast, you and I ever thought we would leave Thailand. It was too cozy.
Yeah.
And now it's kind of like, it's still up there for me, but I think it's starting to fade a little bit in terms of appeal. Like I could see myself spending maybe 2 or 3 months there a year, but this new setup being kind of central to Europe just offers so much in terms of networking, culture, you know, luxury, if you want to, adventure. Asia's great, but I think we did Asia well. Or at least I feel like I certainly saw what Asia has to offer and I love it. But Europe is, if you have a bit of money, people would probably argue this as well in Asia. But for me, the experience of having financial freedom in Europe is greater. There's just so much more you can do culturally and historically and like high-end foods and wines. It's, you know, premium first class train travel and stuff that you can't really do in Asia as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember when I was in Thailand and Chiang Mai and I was making like 20, 30 grand a month and I wanted to go splurge. I wanted to do something crazy. I remember I was trying to buy some Gucci loafers just because I thought like, oh yeah, I mean, maybe I can retire these Crocs I'm wearing. And I just couldn't even buy it because there was no Gucci store in Chiang Mai. And there was nothing to splash out on, right? Like my rent was like 500 bucks a month. The most expensive restaurant in all of Chiang Mai is like DK's Kitchen, which is delicious. It's amazing. But it's like, you know, you can't spend more than 50 bucks there with two people. You know, it just, it forced me to save money, which is good. I'm happy that I was there. But in Europe, in, you know, Kiev is expensive now, man. Like people don't realize this. I mean, you spent 400 bucks a night on a hotel.
Yeah. Yeah, it can be expensive. But on the whole, you can still live there very cheap if you want.
Yeah.
It's good to have the variety.
And what I like about it. Yeah,
like you like said, you can't do that in Chiang Mai. Like David's Kitchen's the nicest restaurant. It's a nice restaurant, but if you go there once a week, you get kind of tired of it, right? And there's not a lot of options outside of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And if it wasn't for COVID restrictions and travel, it'd be so easy for either of us to fly literally anywhere. I mean, from, you know, either Barcelona or from Kiev, you know, we can fly anywhere in Europe within a few hours. We can fly to Turkey, we can fly to like Georgia, we can fly to you know, if we wanted to, we can fly to like, you know, anywhere in Africa, Mozambique or something.
Yeah.
This is what I like about it. And Thailand, once you're there, you know, besides going to like KL or a couple kind of close by Asian countries, there isn't that many places to go.
Yeah. And if you want to like a skiing, you basically have one choice, and that's Northern Japan. Or if you really want to get adventurous, you can go ski in Siberia.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
It's supposed to be pretty cool actually, but you know, here, and I think Ukraine, actually, you have to tell me about ski country in Ukraine, because I know there are some ski slopes, at least near you. But here it's like, man, I'm looking out my window right now. Oh, actually, Patreon should be able to see this. But can you see? It's like beautiful blue sky day. You go outside and it'll be, you know, 25 degrees, nice day. But in a month, I'll be able to drive just an hour and a half, and I'll be in world-class ski country in Andorra. But I'll have the beach in my front yard on like a sunny day. You could technically like have your shirt off at the beach, and then you can drive an hour and a half and be in some of the best ski country in the world. That's what I love about
amazing. It. So in Kiev, we actually have a small ski slope. It's kind of, you know, like a city slope. Mm-hmm. Great for beginners, great for me, within a $4 Uber right away. So I'm going to train there. Mm-hmm. And then the closest actual skiing is the Carpathian Mountains, which I've heard is actually really beautiful. And it's a, you know, it's a train ride away. It's, you know, I don't know what it is, maybe like 5-7 hours, but it's a nice train ride. And if you go overnight and just sleep on the train, you basically, you know, can just go there, you know, ski all day, spend the night, and then come back the next day.
Yeah.
And it'll just be kind of easy and cheap. And, you know, there's flights everywhere too. So I could fly out to Andorra and just meet you up and say, all right, let's hang out for a few days and you know, hit the slopes, you know, have a paella.
Oh, I would love to see Johnny ski.
Oh my God. Nobody wants to see me ski right now.
Finesse is not what comes to mind.
No. Oh my God. I learned to snowboard this March when I got here, and because it was still snowing, and I basically just like brutalized, you know, I don't even know what do you call it? Like, I was basically brawling against the snow. It's like I would fall and I would just do a push up and just jump back on and just like fall again, do another push up, get back up. And I would do that 20 times until I like would actually be able to glide for, you know, 20, 30 seconds, just fall and just say, you know what? I'm just going to force myself to snowboard. No finesse.
It sounds like everybody's first day of snowboarding. You spend so much time just face down and ass down in snow. It's amazing. Yeah. Talk about a full body workout. That first day of snowboarding, you would beat up, man.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm really looking forward to it. Like I this year, this is gonna be my first winter pretty much ever my whole life. Besides winters in California, which don't really count.
Yeah. Right. Or Florida.
This is gonna be my first winter. Yeah.
I went through 27 straight winters in Florida. And then, or 25, and then I moved to Edinburgh, Scotland, who's got like some of the worst winters anywhere in terms of like wind and just shitty weather. You know, you don't get the beautiful white winters, you just get shitty, shitty, nasty, cold weather. And then I did that for like 4 years. It was such a dramatic change. And that's kind of what you're going to go through in Kiev, basically Thailand, Sri Lanka for the last, 6 years or so, and now you're gonna brave a Kiev winter. I think you're gonna like it.
Yeah,
though. I think you're gonna like it.
I think so too. I just want the change. And honestly, right now I value just like, I don't even know what do you call it. Just, you know, stability so much more than I do travel and adventure.
Yeah,
it's kind of that shift in my life. I'm sure, you know, after 6 months I'll be like, all right, no, I want to travel again. I want to see more. But for now, I'm just excited to, you know, have a nice, you know, pot of borscht, invite some friends over, sit on the couch with a nice, you know, warm blanket, watch a movie on my big screen TV, you know, and be in a nice big remodeled apartment with like multiple rooms, and, you know, not be in a hotel room or studio anymore.
Sounds like we're growing up, Johnny, or getting old, or both.
Yeah.
So I was just going to say, so besides all the just hanging out and relaxing and stuff, we've been very active with investing. We should switch over to digging into some of this stuff, because we have a lot of content. But you want to talk about any of the personal or travel stuff more before we jump into it?
No. I was going to say kind of a little update on my renovation. It was supposed to be 2 months because it was supposed to be just a cosmetic renovation, just like new paint, new furniture. But it's been 4 months already. And it turns out just little things, like, for example, I had these old doors that I just wanted to kind of paint it over just to kind of make it look nicer. Mm-hmm. But turns out you had to like take apart the doors because they had like glass inside and like, sand all the trim and everything. And that's been taking, that took like a month. So I've actually been going there every day and just helping like sand little pieces of wood and like.
Oh yeah. Hands on. Nice.
Yeah. And I'm so glad I did that because now I feel like part of the home. The bad thing about it is because now I'm so invested, it's been like watching a baby grow up. I don't want to let anyone stay there now. I don't want a renter to come and just screw it up, because I'm like, man, these walls took so long to make nice, or the ceiling took so long to refresh it, or like the doors. If somebody breaks one of my doors, I'm going to be so pissed because I can't just go and buy a new door. Like it literally everything's kind of like handmade. So worst investment I've ever made is buying this property and making it kind of a home. A project. I should have just bought something and said, I don't care. Just rent it out from day one,
Dude, that's funny. I mean, that is a big risk in being like that. And also it's your first property. So it's probably a little bit special to you as well. I benefited from being fully remote during my renovation, even though I'm still not planning to rent this out. But it was such a big project that if I had been here and been hands-on, I think I would have gotten way too particular about how things were instead of just trusting the architect, trusting the designer. And I think it came out great. But the other thing that was interesting is when I came back, I realized that all the neighbors were pissed. Like super unhappy about the length of the renovation because it was supposed to be like 3 months and it went on basically a year. And now I'm living in here and other people in the building are doing like sporadic renovations that are lasting like 2 weeks type of thing. And it's so annoying, the whole building, like someone's chiseling out a wall, the whole building shakes and it's really, really annoying. And I'm just like, geez, man, mine went on for a year, like every day for a year. These people must have been going insane, right? Yeah. So it was good that I was away from that because I probably would have just had this like really guilty conscience if I was over here every day and I was seeing the neighbors and stuff. But because I was just like home and totally away from it and literally just getting like email updates with photos, I was like, I didn't think anything of it, I just show up, it's done. I'm like, this is great.
Have you met any of them yet? Like, have you had like a housewarming, invited neighbors over for some wine and some tacos or anything?
I've taken them all a bottle of wine. So I got them all a gift. But no one speaks English. I only have one actual neighbor. There's only two units per floor. They're cool. It's a great building, man. Like Catalonia, like Barcelona is Catalonia. They have this whole independence movement type of thing, but they're a very proud conservative group. So it's quiet. It's like very family oriented and stuff. I dig it. I definitely like it.
I can't wait to visit. I was actually going to come to Spain like sooner than later. Mm-hmm. And then I realized I need I need my vax cert. So I finally got my second vax. But it's so hard to get the actual certification here. Like it's like in the US, I think they just give you a piece of paper the day you get the second jab.
Yeah.
Here, I have to go and just like sign up for a family doctor, get them to put me in the system, and then I still don't have the piece of paper yet. Cause if I did, I would say to you right now, say, hey, what are you doing next week? I'll pop over to Barcelona.
Yeah. Right. Well, get that cert and then come on over, man. And for the Patreons, I've been promising to do a video walkthrough of the place. So I'll try to do that this week. Do a nice, maybe if you're actually coming, maybe we'll just wait for you to come. We'll do like a whole video thing and then we can Q&A. Maybe I'll bring the architect over who did it all. But it's fun. I'm already looking to do another project this whole, because it just beat my expectations. And I think it's got to be pretty difficult to do that with a renovation project. Although it's my first one, but I was amazed by how it all came out. One other thing that was cool though, because I never was actually in the unit before the renovation, was that I forgot how high the ceilings are. The ceilings are like probably 13 feet, but in the photos, it doesn't look like that. It looks like maybe like 8 foot ceilings. So when you come in, it's just a lot bigger than it looks in the photo. So that was great. Like in terms of beating my expectations, it was like, wow, it looks so much bigger than than I thought it was.
Wait, you never saw the, you never went inside the unit before you bought it?
No, I did, but it was so dark and gloomy. Like, this place was built in 1918. It had never been touched, and it was full of all this old like furniture and dark wallpapers, and it was extremely compartmentalized. The Barcelona, historically, the way to do it is like you have as many rooms as possible in a place. Mm-hmm. And the American style is more like you open it up and you cut as many bedrooms out and you just have a big open floor plan. So when I walked in here, like it was very dark. There wasn't a lot of natural light and it was compartmentalized. So you don't really get a grasp of it until, you know, we ripped down a bunch of walls, painted everything white and let all this natural light in. And then it's like, it just opens up really, really beautifully.
It's the exact same thing with my unit. Mm-hmm. Cause when you saw it, everything was ready. All the furniture is gone. Everything was kind of painted white already. Probably when I went in, it was all wallpaper, dark wallpaper, but the ceilings were all painted kind of like, different color, like kind of darker colors. And there was so much not just so much furniture, but Ukrainians love storage. I think it's a former USSR thing. They just, because those things were hard to buy in the USSR. Mm. So if you had something like a blanket or clothes or knickknacks, you needed to keep it and pass it down to generations. Now we're in such a consumer economy where you don't, you know, you could literally just buy new stuff every year if you need to, right? So you don't need to actually store anything. So you have floor to ceiling storage units throughout basically every old apartment. So imagine my place, but you walk in, and instead of having this kind of like big open floor plan or foyer, you just, in every room, you have floor to ceiling storage, you know, closets. So like in the hallway, storage. In the right when you walk in, storage. In every room, storage. And the place looked tiny. It felt like literally half the size.
Because
you just had, you know, like just these cabinets. I'm like, what are you going to put in this stuff?
Dude, it's so, we did the opposite, right? Because in Barcelona, there's no storage. None of the rooms have closets in them. Everyone puts these these old chests. They call them like chests, right? Mm. And you have like this much space to hang your clothes and that's it. Mm. And so we were going through this place trying to figure out like, how do we build in closets to a place that didn't have them? So in a couple of the bedrooms, like it was just a big bedroom. And then we just built in, like we took a third of the bedroom and turned it into a closet. Or like a closet and bathroom, because there's no bathrooms in the bedrooms either. Like,
yeah.
So we had to, it was a full remodel over here. So you were getting rid of storage and I was trying to build it in because, you know, got to have a little bit of, you got to have a place to put your wine and skis, right?
Oh God, I'm excited to come see it.
This week's sponsor of Invest Like a Boss is our friends over at Indeed. Now, if you're looking to make your business grow and thrive, you know you need to hire the best people. That's why you need Indeed. Indeed is an unbelievably powerful hiring partner where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. In fact, they even have this feature called Instant Match that as soon as you sponsor a post, you'll get a short list of quality candidates whose resumes match your job description. And you can even invite those people to apply right away. In fact, those people you invite to apply are 3 times more likely to apply to your job than if they just found it in a search, according to Indeed data. So to get started and try it out right now, we're going to hook you up with a $75 sponsored job credit just for heading over to Indeed.com/iLab. You'll get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/iLab. That's Indeed.com/iLab. ILAB. Offer valid through December 31st. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Sam, let's jump into what we're going to talk about in the second half. And you know, for everyone who has joined the Patreon, you can watch the full episode with the video inside Patreon. If you haven't joined yet and you want to check this out, but also see the screenshots of our dashboards and everything else that's going on, then just go to investlikeaboss.com, click on support the show or become a patron for as low as $5 a month. And you have full access to everything, including the Boss Insiders, which gives you access to talk to CEOs, past guests, and kind of, literally the biggest bosses that you can think of.
Yeah. So to Johnny's point earlier, this was the biggest investing quarter at least that I've ever done, maybe since the beginning of the podcast, because when in the early shows we were really starting to ramp things up. But I had a lot of activity. So I'll just give a quick sneak peek of some of the things that happened over the last 3 months in my portfolio. There was a property called Hemalai that I invested in Thailand going way back. And something really interesting happened with that property. I actually got all my money out. And now all the people that invested in that property found out that basically this whole thing's going under, and the management had been lying, giving them false information about it, and using the remaining money of that property to finish other projects that he had that were stalled. Oh, and so the whole thing is going into this massive lawsuit, and it looks like everyone's going to get wiped out that didn't get their money out. So we'll talk about that in a little bit more detail. The other, one of the big investments I made was in Cult Wines. I opened basically fine wine investment. So we'll talk more about that. That's really cool. It's all being held in a warehouse in London. So I can either drink it or I can sell it in the years ahead. And then for anyone that's been following us over the last month, especially, we've done 3 episodes on the metaverse, and I put together a metaverse portfolio. And that's been really fun to the investing side has been fun, but learning about a lot of the different players and some of the technology that's going into the metaverse has been really interesting. I also did re-upped on 2 of my private angel investments, Explorist and Winner Winner. I put in more money to both of those, and they're both raising a much larger round to continue growing. So that's exciting. Another episode we did was on the carbon credits index. And so I invested in KRBN. So we'll talk a little bit about that. That's been a good one. And Fundrise, man, Fundrise is on fire. Mm. And I would imagine that means all the other US, at least US based property investments are doing very well as well. But Fundrise for sure is rocking. They had the best quarter ever. And anyone that's invested with them probably saw that in their dashboard. So we'll talk about that. And we'll talk about a couple more of my private investments that have raised money or have reached new milestones. So a lot going on top of all the other stuff, but that's kind of the notable ones.
I love it. I love it. But I do wish that I was still in Fundrise, because the other real estate fund I am in did not go up. And I'll talk about that. I'll share the numbers with you guys. Just to kind of remind everyone who's listening to this this kind of public episode, the reason why we decided to move our kind of numbers into Patreon wasn't just to, you know,
get Patreon support.
Honestly, like, being so open and transparent with everything has caused a lot of issues in both our lives as well. Mm-hmm. And if you guys listen to the old quarterly updates, Sam never would say specific numbers just because, you know, just for his privacy. But with Patreon and having it kind of be a smaller group of select people who, you know, are show supporters and not just like random, you know, people just, you know, listening,
tuning in,
tuning in. Mm-hmm. Sam now has been 100% more transparent with his numbers. And I have kind of gotten older, matured as well. And I'm like, you know what? Let me keep, you know, my life a little bit more private as well. So that's why we keep everything kind of behind closed doors. And also just the way to thank the Patreons, because we feel like you guys are family. So I think this is where we're going to switch over. We're going to end the public episode and we're going to go into the specific numbers. I'm very excited to share my income as well. So for the first time in probably 3 years, I actually am earning a significant amount of money.
Nice.
Now, both from my YouTube new celebrity status, which I'll talk about, and how I grew, but also I am now a Airbnb superhost.
Wow, that happened quick.
In 3 months, yeah. So I'll break that down as well, and the specific numbers on how I'm super profitable with my property and the plan going forward, but also how I got superhost in just 3 months, and I'll talk about my investments as well. So thank you, Patreons, and everyone else. If you want to listen to the rest of the episode, watch the live video, see our screen shares, hop over to investlikeaboss.com, click on support the show, and we'll see you there. Sam, congrats on episode 200.
Yeah, man.
I don't know if you have a coffee cup or something.
High five. Bye. Yeah, that's awesome, man. 200. Thanks, Derek, and thanks to Patreons and all the listeners for that matter, because we wouldn't be doing it if there wasn't you guys to enjoy and share feedback with, and hopefully get value out of this as as Johnny, Derek, and myself have certainly all gotten value out of it.
Yeah, we love you guys. See you next week. See you, Sam.
See you guys.
Thanks for listening to the Best Like a Boss podcast. Join our mailing list at investlikeaboss.com to get exclusive access to our insider investment portfolios and our private members forum.
If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Tell your friends and leave us a review in the iTunes store. It helps more than you know. See you guys next week.